How do you do? Families often keep a smooth pretense of calm to outsiders, despite an undercurrent of unspoken, unresolved issues. Things they don't talk about. The woman in this story grew up in such a family, and the emotional constriction led to a dangerous condition, until her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From the crossroads of life, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The world may turn its back on the homeless, showing them the door to get rid of them. But the doors never close at Pacific Garden Mission, the old lighthouse. Hundreds of men, women, and children are welcomed each day and given a safe place to sleep, nourishing meals and showers and fresh clothing. Even medical and dental care is given to resident guests in the Mission Clinic, all without charge. Mission pastors and counselors lead them in paths that they have not known, making darkness light before them and crooked things straight. Those who open the door to new life are never the same. And this program opens the door throughout the world in 14 languages. Now for broadcast around the earth. Here is program number 3289 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
There's something wrong with me.
You'll be all right, Shelby.
I'm always so cold.
Sit over there in the recliner and wrap that blanket around your shoulders.
I just don't feel good.
Well, I hope you feel better tomorrow. Your sister invited us to dinner.
Oh, good. Her house is always warm.
Well, I'd rather play bridge with my friends, but we'll go.
Would you turn up the heat, Jane?
Shh! Your dad's resting. Be quiet.
Mom, can I go to the movies with Tammy?
No.
Why not?
Because your dad lost his job, remember?
Can't he get another one?
No, he's sick.
What's wrong?
He's getting cobalt treatments now.
Is that why he lost his hair?
Oh, don't ask so many questions.
Her life consisted of never letting on how she felt, of keeping her emotions in a straitjacket. But the woman in our story found an outlet. This is the story of her struggle. The true testimony of Sandy Doran, right now on Unshackled.
I had a happy childhood until Daddy got sick when I was 10. We lived in Colorado Springs, where my widowed grandmothers also lived. How different they were. Dad's mother was thin and serious, a strict old German woman. Mom's mother, Nana, was fat and fun. I spent many weekends with her. We'd walk 6 blocks to town, have lunch, buy a toy at the dime store, and then walk back to her apartment, the upstairs of a house owned by a judge.
Oh, no! I left my keys inside the house. We can't get in. Well, Sandy, let's just sit here on the porch till the judge gets home. Don't mention what I did. We'll just pretend we're enjoying the afternoon out here, okay?
From that incident and others like it, I learned not to admit failure. Mom was Nana's only child, so I didn't have cousins on that side of the family. Dad had only one sister who was childless, so no cousins there either. I did have a brother 3 years younger than I, and we played dominoes with my Uncle Casey when we went there for dinner. Fun for us, but Mom didn't like her in-laws and treated them rudely. She felt she had married beneath her social standing. We always went to a prestigious mainline church downtown.
God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. However, we can't come close to loving as God loves. His love is unconditional. His love is sacrificial. His love is never-ending. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And God offers his love to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated his love by sacrificing himself for our sins on the cross. Romans chapter 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Daddy was an elder in the church. He played the piano for the adult Sunday school class, practicing at home on Sunday mornings. Mom also served, teaching preschool classes. Church leaders expected much of me, but I was spoiled and shallow. In seventh grade, my Sunday school teacher, who was blind, asked me a question, and all I could do was giggle. Sometimes I skipped the class to go for a soda with my friends. Daddy tried to reason with me.
Sandy, do you understand the gospel?
Yes, I think so, Daddy.
Do you know what a scapegoat is?
Not exactly.
Well, a scapegoat is someone we blame, but they are not guilty. Jesus was the scapegoat for our sins. The Bible says that we all sin, and the penalty for sin is death. So God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty once and for all. He was without sin. He didn't die for anything He did. He voluntarily died in our place and was raised from the dead for our justification.
I see, Daddy.
Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
I had to memorize that in Sunday school.
Do you believe it?
Yes, Daddy.
Good, good. Then you're saved, my little girl.
God knew that my heart didn't agree with my word. By the time Daddy's lung cancer was diagnosed, it had spread to his brain. He began to say and do strange things. He was hospitalized several times, but we never discussed his illness. One Sunday morning, just before I turned 14, the phone rang and I picked up the extension just as Mom answered. I heard a voice say, "Shelby's passed away." I ran out the back door and climbed the fence to my best friend's yard, where we sat and watched the ducklings waddle around the yard. I was too numb to cry or talk about it. The pastor suggested that Mom get me a horse, and she did. That horse became my best friend, while Mom sat alone at dusk, looking out the window.
Mom, Tammy got a horse, too. Now all three of us have horses. We formed a club called the Pony Club. You should see us riding together. The horses flick their tails at cars. Mom, are you all right?
I thought she had gone crazy, and I hurried back to my friends. I didn't know her emotions were normal for someone who was grieving. Then Mom began drinking. Uncle Casey died 18 months after Daddy's death. Nana, meanwhile, had to have her leg amputated and went into a nursing home to recuperate.
I'm gonna learn to use this wooden leg. You wait and see.
Nana, it's not wooden.
Oh, whatever it's made of. I wanna go back home.
I'll be glad when you do.
Well, no, not till you're stronger, Mama.
How is your mother-in-law doing since her son-in-law died?
Oh, okay, I guess.
It would be hard to lose your only son, and then your only son-in-law, too.
Well, she's always been a sour old woman. Her daughter is so bitter about losing her husband.
Can't say that I blame her. Being a widow is hard.
I don't want to talk about that, Mama.
Nana learned to use her prosthesis and returned home, much to my relief. I was 15 when I began to sneak cigarettes from Mom's purse and smoke them. One night she caught me and was angry, but I didn't care. I smoked all the more. The day before I got my driver's license, I took our car for a joyride. Mom was furious.
Look at the damage you did to my car. What happened?
I couldn't control the gear shift coming up the driveway.
Oh, you had no business taking the car without my permission.
I just wanted to go for a ride.
You shouldn't drive a manual transmission if you don't know how to shift the gears.
I didn't realize how hard it is to shift gears going uphill.
And then you crashed into the side of the garage.
Because of that sharp left just before you get to the garage.
Stay out of that car.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry isn't enough. You're grounded.
The last day of that year, my dad's mother died. We had lost three people in our immediate family in less than 3 years. Emotionally, I was devastated, but didn't show it. I was 16 and had no clear direction. In my junior year of high school, I met some wild kids who gave me a fake ID and took me to bars. I got so drunk, they dumped me into the bushes in our front yard. The summer I turned 17, I worked at the snack bar of a theme park in the foothills, where I met Doug, who worked there too.
You still in school, Sandy?
Yeah, I'll be a senior, Doug. What about you?
I graduated last year.
Are you in college?
Yep, Boulder, the party school. Woohoo! Hey, do you like the party?
As much as I can.
Oh, my kind of girl. Are you going to go to college?
I guess so. My dad left a trust fund for me.
He died?
3 years ago of cancer.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, Mom's dating now, though.
Well, you only live once, so make it good.
Doug was good-looking and fun. He dated many girls who worked with us, but he and I didn't date that summer. I graduated and we worked together again. That's when we began dating. He took me to the Greyhound races and to a melodrama in Cripple Creek, a former gold mining town in the mountains. We always had fun together, and we always drank. I started college in Fort Collins, majoring in psychology because I had the desire to help people. I was home the weekend Nana called and said she was having a heart attack. Mom and I rushed to her apartment to meet the ambulance. They let me ride with Nana. That was the last time I saw Nana alive.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sandy. I can tell she meant a lot to you.
She was my fun, Grandma. I could talk to her.
You can talk to me. I might not always listen, but...
You brighten my day, Doug.
And you mine. Would you like something to eat?
No thanks, Doug. I'm not hungry. I hate the thought of leaving you and going back to classes.
Oh, I thought you liked psychology.
I do. Sort of. But I'm just not sure of anything now.
Welcome to the club. It's an uncertain world, Sandy.
I could use another drink. Alcohol freed me from my self-imposed prison, the emotional paralysis that characterized my life. In college, I had acquired a new obsession, fear of being overweight. Soon, I was anorexic.
In a moment, we'll hear more about Sandy's story. Pray without ceasing. The Bible commands, and we do. We get many requests for prayer from our listeners, like this one. Please pray for God to give our family strength, for we have lost two loved ones, a grandfather and aunt. I've listened to your show Unshackled since I was 8 years old. Now I'm 27. God bless you, and I hope God gives your show many more years. Well, we hope so, too. This person asked, please pray for my youngest brother and his wife. They are struggling in their marriage, and their sons are making wrong decisions. We pray for each request that comes in the mail or through the internet. So please let us know if you have some need for prayer. You can request prayer on our website, www.unshackled.org. Click on Submit a Prayer. We also send these prayer petitions to our prayer band, people like you who want to serve the Lord in this simple but vital ministry. We send petitions to our prayer band once or twice a month as stipulated. You can also become a part of our prayer band by writing or emailing us like this person who wrote, I was listening to Unshackled last night and heard your request for prayer warriors. I've been looking for a way to serve my Lord, and this sounds just perfect. I would like to start out by receiving prayer requests once a month, and hopefully, once I get the hang of it, I will be able to do more. I also want to let you know how much I love your program, Unshackled. Whether you need prayer or want to pray for others, write and tell us. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Doug and I had fun dating during the summers when we worked together. Fall came and I had to return to college. But I didn't know how to pursue my goal of helping others, nor did I have emotional strength. Occasionally, Doug and I spent a weekend together, and after one such time, I was so sad and lonely that I drove down to Boulder.
Sandy, what are you doing here?
I missed you too much.
I miss you too. But what about your classes?
I'm going to drop out and get a job.
Here in Boulder?
Yes. I want to be with you, Doug.
What about my roommate?
Do you think he'll mind my being here?
Well, probably not. When the semester ends, we can get our own apartment.
We shared the dorm room with Doug's roommate until the end of the semester, when Doug and I got an apartment in a small town north of Boulder.
Hello?
Hi, Mom. I tried to call you last night, but no answer.
Oh, I was out with Ryan.
The guy in the Air Force?
Ah, Sandy, he's not a guy. He's an officer. Why did you drop out of school?
How did you know?
The college let me know.
I want to work for a while.
Well, it's your life.
I'm working in Boulder now.
I might have known. Doing what?
Serving tables at a restaurant.
Well, maybe you'll eat more and put some meat on your bones.
I just need a break from school.
Ryan and I are talking about marriage.
So are Doug and I. Doug and I commuted to Boulder, where I worked and he attended classes. Lyons was a very small town, and Doug and I kept attending church. I knew it was wrong for us to be living together because of my parents' faith. Our lifestyle affected our social life.
The couple we met wants us to get together for dinner sometime.
I don't think we should.
Well, why not? They seem to like us.
They're pretty serious about their faith.
So?
They'll find out we're not married yet and that we're not serious about our faith at all.
Well, so what?
The church frowns on living together outside of marriage.
That's pretty old-fashioned.
I know, but that's the way it is. We decided to set the date for our marriage and attended premarital counseling 6 times with the pastor of our church. True to our character, we went into each session thinking we knew more than the pastor. But it was in our heads, not in our hearts. We were determined to get through the session by giving the right answers. I wasn't used to exposing my emotional needs, even to a pastor.
So, let's talk about conflict resolution.
What conflict?
Yeah, we don't fight.
Do you agree on most issues?
So far.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, good. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? But conflict comes to every marriage, and it's wise to plan ahead of time how to resolve differences.
Sandy, you just learned to say, yes, dear, and we'll be fine.
Well, it helps to have a sense of humor in any relationship, but mostly you need humility. Let me read you some verses from Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
I like those verses.
Me too.
Read the Bible and pray together.
Good idea.
Don't forget that the Lord is the wonderful counselor. God counsels in Philippians chapter 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Doug and I were married in a lovely church wedding. 3 months later, Mom married and moved with her new husband to the Philippines. Doug and I moved into Mom's house in Colorado Springs, where Doug took a job with a bank. We were both quite immature. I kept working as a waitress until our first baby was born, a son. A few times, Mom flew back to visit from the Philippines.
So how do you like being a mother?
I love him to pieces, but I think I'll go back to work in a few months.
Why? He's only a year old, Sandy.
I need more from life than being a wife and mother.
What about your son?
I'll find a good daycare.
You know, you're so skinny.
I dieted after the baby was born. Now I just exercise every day.
Sandy, you should eat more.
Yeah, Aunt Jean thinks I'm anorexic, but I'm not. I just don't want to be overweight. When our son was 18 months old, I went back to work, thinking it would be fulfilling. Doug and I were drinking more, and we had stopped attending church. I kept dieting. By the time our son was 4, I was exhausted, too tired to play with him. I just wanted to sleep. I was depressed, withdrawn, and always cold. Words of biblical teaching began coming to me. At age 27, I weighed only 69 pounds and felt hopeless. One morning, I woke up to find my left leg swollen and stiff. My eyes were swollen nearly shut. In anguish, I prayed. Oh, Lord, I don't know if you even want a wretched body like mine, but if you do, please take it and take me. That was my first sincere and repentant prayer to God. He heard me, and peace flooded my heart and mind. Recovery wasn't easy, but I asked the Lord for strength. I began to eat better, which caused me anxiety at first. God, I don't even know how to eat right. Please teach me. Help me to hear and obey you when you say that's enough.
Why the sudden interest in having another child?
I think it's time.
It's been 10 years. You think you're ready for a baby?
Yes, if my body is up to it.
I think it is.
Doug, I was anorexic all those years. I practically starved myself.
I knew you were picky about eating, but why?
I didn't want to be fat.
Well, what made you change?
I turned to God, and He's teaching me how to be free. Our second son was born 6 years after I cried out to God for help, and then we had a daughter 3 years later. I was reading God's Word every day and went to women's Bible studies. We lived in Denver until Doug transferred to Pueblo for his job as a banker. There I took piano lessons and began playing piano in church, just as my father had done. In 1990, our cozy world took a lurch.
Sandy, I lost my job.
Really? What are we going to do, Doug?
Tighten our belts until I find another one.
Can we afford to keep the house?
I don't know. We have a lot of debt.
We do?
Yes.
You didn't tell me.
I didn't want you to be concerned.
We'd better start praying for the Lord's guidance. Doug was unemployed for several years. Our house was big and beautiful, but we had to sell, and the Lord brought a buyer. We moved to Missouri, where I worked as a paraprofessional in the local school. Doug opened a small business that he ran for 5 years until the next blow came. Doug had cancer.
I'm sorry you have to carry the load right now, Sandy.
We're married. That makes us one.
For better or worse, and right now, it's worse.
All I have to do is work. You have to go through chemotherapy.
It's pretty bad.
My dad probably went through that in the hospital, but we never talked about it.
The debts are piling up, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Don't worry, Doug. God will bring us through this.
I feel bad that the kids have to suffer.
They don't complain. Standing in line at a food giveaway teaches humility.
I never thought we'd come to this.
They're learning to be good shoppers at secondhand stores. They've made a policy change at school, Doug. Anyone with a bachelor's degree gets a pay raise.
Well, that lets you out.
I looked into it, and I qualify for a Pell Grant. During the time I worked on my bachelor's degree, I moved my mom to Missouri because she suffered dementia. Her passing a year later helped me express emotion. I earned my master's and worked for a counseling agency for 7 years. Then Doug and I opened our own counseling practice. When our daughter's marriage ended in divorce, we grieved and asked our Bible study leader to teach on forgiveness.
Why do you think it is important to forgive?
Because Jesus said, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
And conversely, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
We lose our salvation?
Your salvation is more secure than your DNA. God is telling us that we lose fellowship with Him, spiritual intimacy, if we don't forgive. What else?
When Jesus was crucified on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
That's right. If God can forgive those who crucified Jesus, we can forgive anything and anyone. We must practice God's holiness when we forgive.
But what if someone you love is doing something that's contrary to what the Bible teaches?
Jesus said, "First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye."
Following Christ is a lifelong process, but oh, the joy! God keeps bringing emotional healing to me. All three of our children profess faith in Christ, and Doug and I depend on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit each day. As 2 Peter chapter 3 urges, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen."
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Listening friend, do you need that rest from struggling and failing? Jesus offers you eternal life when you come to Him in repentance, believing that He paid the price for your redemption. You can find peace with God by praying now. There are no special words. Pray to God in repentance and sincerity. He's waiting to hear from you. Let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to assist you in your spiritual pursuits. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. Wow, Unshackled is one of our favorite radio programs, a listener emailed us recently. Well, thank you. Without your support, we wouldn't be on the air. Ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3289, heard in the true story of Sandra Doran, where Mara Kate Burns, Steve Bayorgin, B.F. Hellman, Lisa Keefe, Art Fox, and Marcy Mencotti. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Loisio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter is vital to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.